sometimes it does not take that much to revive confidence. So the right decisions can still be made over the next month. And I think if something like that is forthcoming, that will most certainly buy us some time from Moody's.
Let's have a look at a piece of good news for a change from the South African economy. It's the second quarter GDP figure, which was released earlier today. With me is Tertia Jacobs, who's Treasury Economist at Investec in Johannesburg. Such a welcome change to be reporting on something that's positive, Tertia.
Yes, I think under normal circumstances, it would have been very encouraging. But I think the way that we look at this number, it was more a rebound on the, on the deep contraction that we witnessed in the first quarter that was driven by, stage four load shedding.
Yeah, so what you're saying is this figure was entirely expected, but off a low base.
Yes, the outcome was a bit higher than consensus market expectations of 2.5%. But still, when you look at where the key drivers on the production side of the economy, it was mainly mining production, that was affected quite severely in the first quarter. However, when you look at manufacturing production and construction activity, they remained very lackluster. On the other side, when you look at the expenditure side, there we saw quite a nice rebound in consumer spending as well as private sector fixed investment. But to put the numbers in context, when you look at household consumer spending, even though it accelerated, we look at the numbers like quarter on quarter, seasonally adjusted and annualized, it could look like quite a strong rebound of nearly 3%. But when you look at the growth rate year on year, it is much more muted at 1%.
I've always said that the third quarter and fourth quarter numbers are going to be more meaningful than the second quarter that we've just been given, simply because of that low base effect, or rather the base effect that I just described. Would you agree with that, that the quarter three and four are going to be absolutely crucial?
Entirely, because the first half of the year saw GDP growth increase by about 0.9%. So for the economy to continue growing at 0.9% for the year, we need quarter-on-quarter GDP growth rates of 3% seasonally adjusted and annualized. So I agree with you. And, so far we had incoming data for August. We had the PMI. And unfortunately, we saw a dip below 50, which is normally an indication of a pickup or a slowdown in the sector. And we also had very weak new vehicle sales for August. So, incoming data for August does not really speak to a meaningful rebound yet.
No. On the other hand, if we look at the fact that markets and economies are still run by human beings, thank goodness, the 3.1% print that we've just seen for GDP may engender some sort of confidence. That's what I would hope. I mean, the PMI yesterday plunging 6.5 points or whatever it was, I found quite depressing. But I'm personally a little bit uplifted today by what I've seen. Do you think that people might come out of their shells because we've avoided recession?
The news flow that we received in the third quarter has not yet been lifting business confidence. And, when you look at the key dynamics at the moment on government side, the focus has been very much on stabilizing the finances of SOEs such as Eskom. And, in July, the Minister of Finance announced an additional bailout to Eskom this year of 33 billion over on top of the 23 billion, and next year 33 billion on top of the 23 billion. And the consequence of that is the budget deficit is likely to widen, and that obviously threatens fiscal sustainability. So I think people are worried that, taxes could again increase in early next year. So it's very important, what could government do to revive confidence? So I don't think the second quarter rebound is going to be the key change. We need some kind of political and policy intervention, because so far politics have actually failed the economy.
Yes, indeed. And on that note, I have to temper my enthusiasm. Just so rare to get a piece of good news coming out of South Africa over the last year. So my enthusiasm is now tempered. And we do have to initiate policies that go beyond a second quarter GDP print. And to that end, There's a piece of work prepared by the National Treasury, and it's called Economic Transformation, Inclusive Growth and Competitiveness Towards an Economic Strategy for South Africa. Essentially, Tito's plan. What do you make of it?
So I think when the report was published last week, it immediately elicited positive and negative reaction. But when you start looking at the paper, that paper was actually produced already in 2017 by National Treasury. It was just never officially published. And I think the decision by the Minister of Finance to publish that report was actually, you know, we're going into the medium-term budget policy statement on the 23rd of October, and South Africa still lacks a coherent growth plan. So Tito's plan, as it has become known, isn't really economic plan where he is trying to force his views on South Africa. The cabinet is the only place where a decision can be made. I think it was more to open the debate on what needs to be done to revive growth. Because when you think about it, since 1996, South Africa has never agreed on how to grow the economy. So we need closer collaboration between the various players in the economy, and we need a social compact. So I think when you look at Tito's plans, so some of it is a bit dated, for example, when you look at telecommunications, but it should also be seen in the restructuring of government. You know, under the Zuma administration, there was basically no coordination or cohesion between the various economic departments. So under President Ramaphosa, I think there's definitely a drive to coordinate. You will, for example, have seen the mergers of certain ministries like departments of minerals and energy, housing and sanitation. So that is then, as I said, the focus is on coordination. So a number of ministries will be involved in delivering certain objectives. And I think that is basically what the Tito plan also tried to illustrate. So the plan is not to provide answers, it's more to open the debate and provide direction for where South Africa could be heading.
Okay, so it's a framework, in other words. From what you've said over the last minute or so, is that we need political cohesion. We need the cabinet, each cabinet minister, to work in cahoots with each other, if you like, rather than going off at different tangents, which has sort of characterized the political scene in South Africa for so many years.
You know, during the State of the Nation address in June, President Ramaphosa also revived the National Development Plan that basically gathered dust under the Zuma administration. Now, the NDP in many aspects is fairly vague. There's no timelines and there's not really deliverables. So what we know is that President Ramaphosa and his team is also working on a five-year plan. And within that, you know, ministers with certain portfolios will then be held accountable to achieve certain objectives. So I think one of the key changes has been is that ministers are becoming more accountable. And that is obviously very important in delivery and performance. Because, you know, the developmental state has actually failed because of the lack of capacity in the government sector. So we trust that this new plan will also incorporate plans for the private sector, because when you look at where could be the key drivers from growth, you know, government does not have the capacity. Our debt to GDP ratio is likely to rise above 60% in coming years. Monetary policy, yes, there is scope for the Reserve Bank to cut interest rates, but a lot of it will obviously depend on the next 2 months and rating risk. But monetary policy in itself cannot revive growth. South Africa needs critical interventions on the production side of the economy. And I think just to relay this back to the GDP numbers for the first and the second quarter, you can see that the trend growth in mining and manufacturing production and including construction is very weak.
Yes, it is. Let's go back to the first point that you made. And that's the new five-year plan, which is being formulated at the moment. One thing I've noticed in my decades of commentating on South Africa is that there are lots of plans, there are lots of meetings, there are lots of indabas, bosporas, and that sort of thing. And then we don't get a follow-up on it. And is this new five-year plan merely another iteration of the Tito plan, or do you think it'll be something radically, or not radically, but slightly different to what we've seen in the past?
We do think that this is going to be different from the past, basically because President Ramaphosa inherited a very difficult environment or a very difficult economy with lots of pressure on delivery. You know, we have seen all the demonstrations around the country. And of course, with South Africa's debt to GDP ratio rising, you know, there has been talk about South Africa having to approach the IMF for a bailout. So just to that point, we don't think that we are there, because South Africa can still address many of the issues. But I think the dynamic that has been missing has been the political will. And I think where we're sitting right now, we need more focus on South Africa than basically in ANC internal politics. And the economy is now, as I said, it has reached the point where we need political and policy interference. The economy will remain in a low growth trap. You know, in a low growth trap is basically one quarter you witness positive growth and the next quarter you have negative growth. So we really need something to revive the economy. This is basically going to come back to the willingness of government to enable the private sector to start getting involved in more projects.
Yes, indeed. So what we've got to go from is ideology and talking shops and platitudes to actual delivery. And do you think Mr. Ramaphosa and his team is the leader and the team that can deliver that?
You know, there's a lot of debate about President Ramaphosa, his ability to make decisions. We know that since the election, it was very difficult for him to announce reforms, basically because of the infighting in the ANC. But we do think that he is the right person. He understands the economy. He understands business. And, you know, what's also important for South Africa is to forge a social compact. And that is basically the only way that we would be able to move ahead.
We've got some big events coming up in the next few months, Tertia. We've got the midterm budget policy statement, which is just around the corner, really, which is going to be a terribly, terribly difficult juggling act for the Treasury. It has been for many years now, but this one will be particularly bad given the data that we're seeing on tax returns. We've got the Monetary Policy Committee, which is obviously a regular event, and that'll be an interesting one. I'll ask you about that in a moment. We've got rating agencies, and so they're all going to come together, and it's going to be a crucial last few months of the year. When it comes to Monetary Policy Committee, first of all, in other words, the Interest Rate Setting Committee of South Africa, what do you think they're going to do? Do you think they will be able to cut again?
So market expectations of a September rate cut has certainly increased, but we don't think the Reserve Bank will deliver a rate cut as early as September. I think what has changed is that July's inflation reading has surprised on the downside. You know, it increased by 4% compared to 4.5% in June. And I think that means that the Reserve Bank could potentially lower its forecast over the medium term. Okay, the negative, of course, is that the rand has depreciated by about 7 percentage points. So there will be a slight upward revision. But with inflation likely to stay around about 4.5% for longer than expected, the door for the Reserve Bank to ease to cut the repo rate again by 25% has opened. But there are major challenges ahead for South Africa, as you pointed out. We have the medium-term budget policy statement on the 23rd of October. Now, the budget deficit for the current fiscal year 1920, could widen significantly. You know, in February, National Treasury forecast the main budget deficit to be about 4.7% of GDP. In all likelihood, it can now increase to anything between 5.7% to 6%. So what will be important is what is going to happen to the trajectory going forward. Now, National Treasury also announced or indicated to departments that they must cut spending by 5, 6 and 7% per annum over the next 3 years. That will be very important to stabilize the fiscal trajectory. And then obviously added to that is what kind of economic plan will South Africa get, because that will be critical to revive growth. So from that perspective, I think the Reserve Bank hold back on a rate cut in September and to see how this medium-term budget policy and economic policy announcements play out, because the Moody's rating decision is scheduled for the 1st of November.
Obviously, they will take in then the MTBPS, the midterm budget policy statement. And obviously, within the MTBPS, there will be reference to Eskom, which we haven't spoken about. And it's still, as they say, the elephant in the room.
That is correct. So there's a couple of things that we're still waiting for. And the first is the debt restructuring of Eskom's 440 billion rand of debt. So we know that last month, Minister Pravin Gordhan announced a CRO, a Chief Reorganization Officer. So we're not exactly sure when this debt restructuring will be announced, but it will either be before the MTBPS or during the MTBPS. But this is also a dynamic that needs to be addressed as it creates uncertainty.
Okay, let's look at this from afar and say to ourselves, well, if I was Moody's or Fitch or S&P, what would I think of South Africa at this moment? They've got a second quarter GDP bounce back, but as we've said before, off a low base. The future is uncertain, but there are good intentions. So what would you do if you're a rating agency and you have to deliver a decision on November the 1st, assuming that the MTBPS, for example, is going to be a tricky one, an austere one?
What will be important again, what kind of announcements will the government make to lift growth and business confidence? You know, what's also important will be what kind of strategic projects government will announce to involve the private sector. Because, you know, as we said earlier on, the only way for South Africa to accelerate growth is basically to enable the private sector. And the quickest way is basically in delivering infrastructure. So there are many opportunities. You know, so sometimes it does not take that much to revive confidence. So the right decisions can still be made over the next month. And I think if something like that is forthcoming, that will most certainly buy us some time from Moody's. South Africa has still quite a few strong points. Our foreign debt to GDP is relatively low. We have very deep local financial markets. The rand is flexible. We have an independent reserve bank. But the big challenge is obviously slow GDP growth, because unless growth starts to pick up, debt to GDP will continue to increase. And if we don't start to make hard decisions now, you know, we will need much harder responses in coming years.
Tertia, you're an economist, but you're also a realist and a South African. Are you optimistic about the future? Are there some tentative green shoots, do you think?
I think if the TTIP plan, if some aspects of it can be incorporated into some of the other departments, if we can get a coherent economic policy, a social compact, the prospects for growth certainly look better.
Tertia, thanks so much for your excellent analysis. That was Tertia Jacobs, who's a Treasury economist at Investec in Johannesburg. Thank you for listening to Investec Focus Radio. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
The views expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm and should not be taken as advice or recommendation. Investec Specialist Bank, a division of Investec Bank Limited, is a registered credit provider.